as I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. Let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him, He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul from without, but my Lord goes ahead, leads for every time. Though I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire. With a tender outstretched toward the valley low, He's guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares home at last, there to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my bark, He doth safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. Come on, sing it. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Well now, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We just welcome you to the service this evening. Pray that you'll join in with us with all your hearts and just create an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit will be welcome. Amen. Let's sing that song, When the Redeemed Are Gathered In.
I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathered in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathered in, washed like snow and free.
like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathered in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathered in. And the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathered in. Hallelujah. Oh, when the redeemed are gathered in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, I will shout and I will sing. Gathered in. Well, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathered in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathered in. Hallelujah. Oh, when the redeemed are gathered in, washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathered in. Sing it again. Washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathered in. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm a New Creation. I'm a brand new man. Well, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Sing it again now. Well, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Let's sing it again now. I'm a new creation, thank you, Lord, brand new man. All things are passed away, I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Praise you, Lord. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. I have decided. Amen. No turning back from this. Amen. We've come too far. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's try. Let's get in the right key. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world and give me Jesus. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Let's sing that again. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, no, I won't turn back. I've started, amen. I have started, oh, the kingdom. Oh, I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. But though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. It's a great thing, ain't it? Well, it's a great thing a Christian. Oh, it's a great thing to be a Christian. Well, it's a great thing to be a Christian. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. Don't be shy. Man, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song, Just a Little While to Stay Here. I haven't seen that in a very long time, so y'all will have to help me on it. We'll start with the verse, brother.
Soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Oh, heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, all the beauties there to share. Just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Yes. Just a little while to labor in the path
that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon we'll see the light of morning, then the new day. Soon we'll hear the Father calling, come my children, enter in. Amen. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven's throng. Sing it now. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait. I'm glad of that, amen. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight, just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon we'll meet our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Soon we'll press them to our bosom, over in the promised land. Then we'll be at home forever through eternity. What a blessed moment that eternal morn will be. Once again now, just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Oh, just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Amen. You glad of that? Hallelujah. Amen. We'll sing one more before we change the order of the service here. I'd like to sing that song, My God is Real. My God is real. He's real in my soul. He's real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Well, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Sing the chorus again. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me. like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Verse 1. There are some things I may not know, and there are some places that I cannot, but I'm sure of this. My God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. The chorus again. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God, He's real, for He has washed and made me whole.
Seated. We have, they'll just play that softly. We have several prayer requests here. Let's grab these. We want to make known before the congregation. We want to remember Brother Matt and Arne and Theodore. They're at home. They're not feeling well. They need a touch from the Lord. So let's remember the Cross family in prayer. Amen. Remember Sister Molly. She has been, she's in the hospital right now at Iredell, Statesville room 324 at the Iredell Hospital, and she has a infected diabetic ulcer in her foot, and it has bone involvement. The doctor expects her to be there for at least 2 or 3 days, and they're going to do antibiotic therapy. Tuesday is her 87th birthday, and it'd be, you know, nice if people reached out to her. And I know that's tough being in the hospital, and on top of that being your birthday. I mean, maybe we can cheer her up, and we'll pray for her. God will bring her out of that. Let's remember Sister Tina Knobloch. She's having a problem with her eyes, and she's resting at home. Also want to keep Sister Hannah Hunter in prayer. I believe she's still recovering the surgery. So let's keep those in prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Ben McCafferty if he would come forward at this time and take these requests before the Lord as we sing that.
I lift my hands and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. Right now,
let's all stand one more time.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now. Bow our knees and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now.
Amen. Are there any unspoken prayer requests? By uplifted hands. Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we truly need you right now. Lord, we are truly a needy people, Father, and we come to you tonight, Lord Jesus, just asking that you would come on the scene for our needs, Father. As our brother Jaron has read these prayer requests, Father, Lord, you know all the needs, Father. You know the needs that we all have hidden even in our hearts, Lord. Father, we just ask that you would, Lord, come on the scene for them, Father, and be there, Lord Jesus, because you truly are a hiding place, Father, when we are feeling lost or we're going through a tough time, Lord. Lord, we ask that you'll be with our pastor as he's in Quebec, Father, that you'll bring him back safely, Lord. We just also ask a special prayer request, Father, for all the believers, Lord, that are in Florida. And as the storm travels north, Father, any of the believers or anyone that's in the path, Father, that you would keep them safe. Lord, we just remember our sister April that's in Miami, Lord, that you would just watch over her, keep her safe, Lord. We ask that you'd be with our brother Jaron tonight, Lord. Lord, and the musicians, Father, continue, Lord, that our praise would be a sweet savor to you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you bless the speaker tonight, Father. Lord, be with them. And Lord, may the word find soft ground in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name.
Seats. I believe Sister Sarah has a special for us. We'll sing that one more time as she's making her way. Just sounds so nice.
We need you, Lord. We need you right now. We need you. Right now.
We have one more special from Sister Julia and her children. We'll just take a little extra time for that. Let's sing as they're being prepared to come in the presence of Jehovah.
please bear with me. I had a little bit of a plan change. I believe I'm finding the mind of the Lord. There's a song that's I wrote a few years ago because that there was a brother in the church in Arizona that I went to that he and I were talking about the song service. He was working with the musicians and song leaders and really trying to help us understand that song service has a real purpose. It's not about the sound. It's not about the style. It has a real purpose, and it's very sacred. And it was just flooded my heart with how important it is. And so I'm not exactly prepared for the song, but I hope it's a blessing to you.
The very air we breathe is
revelation and faith. So, Lord, move in our midst today. Lord, move in our midst, we pray.
Amen. Wow, what a beautiful special. Thank you, Sister Julia. It's powerful. Amen. Let's stand. Ask our deacons to come forward at this time. We'll take up our evening offering as Brother Stephen comes forward. Brother Andy, if you would lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we ask once again that you would come by here, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We ask that you bless this tithe and this offering. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, We're Standing on Holy Ground. Amen. I believe someone can reach out and touch him right now and have their needs met.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know
again now.
Oh, we are standing, oh Lord, on holy ground, and I know there are angels all around.
I believe we are standing in His presence. I really do. I really do. If you would, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles with me while you're standing. Thank you, musicians. You can have your seats. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 13. It was a wonderful message this morning. I hope somebody got something out of that this morning. I know that Brother Matt had to leave pretty quick after the service there, but I'm glad he came, and I'm glad he made the trip, and I'm glad he was able to speak to us, and I believe that it touched me, and I know that it touched a lot of us. And he had to unexpectedly head back, so that's why I'm here tonight, and I hope that I can also say something that'll be a blessing to you. And I'd like to say just something very simple that'll tie right along in and be cohesive to what he was saying this morning, and just make a little Bible study for us tonight so that we can dwell a little bit longer on the Word of God and go about our ways. If you would, let's read in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. This is Job's answer to Zophar's response, one of his three friends. And Zophar said what he did to Job, and Job responds in a lengthy answer, but this is just a portion of his answer. He says, Though he slay me, and he's talking about God, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. If you would, just skip over to chapter 14, the very next page, and in verse 5, which is his answer continued. He says, seeing his days, and he's talking about man, seeing that man's days are determined, the number of his mouths are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful building tonight that we can come and read and get deeper into your word. And I pray that you not let us leave this building the same. But Lord, that you'd give us just another little piece of bread, Lord, that we can have and consume, that it would help us on our journey. Help us take the next step. And then if you should tarry, we'd come back and hear more, and it would help us to take the next step. Lord, I pray that you'd refresh us tonight. And it's into the power of the living God that we give ourselves, and we surrender ourselves to that mind and body. Lord, we know that you are more than able to answer our needs. So it's into your capable hands do we submit ourselves tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ do we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats. One of the reasons Brother Matt, I think Brother Jaron said this, but one of the reasons Brother Matt had to leave was because his town was going to do something. The town of Beaufort, I believe, was going to shut down the town, which means that he wouldn't be able to get back into the town, and his family wouldn't be able to get out or something to that effect. So he had to run home just so he could get his family, and then they were going to go to Charleston just to ride out the storm because they're on the tip of the storm there. So we want to pray for him. And all the people who are suffering from the hurricane. There's a lot of different catastrophes going on right now. And we know, I was listening to a service the other day, someone who was preaching about that, and they were going over the different things, how this September there's been an earthquake, a very devastating earthquake, a very devastating hurricane, two devastating hurricanes, and heaven forbid, some more to come. And then, you know, all the different things and the flooding that's gone on. And all of that is prophesied in the Scripture. In the last days, this would come. In the last days, the calamities would come. And, of course, tomorrow is the 16th anniversary of September 11th. And I was talking to my wife this past week. September 11th always has a unique place in my heart because I was baptized and I gave my heart to the Lord September 15th, 2001. And I was a 10-year-old boy, and we were there and we were watching all of the things that had taken place, and the towers, you know, and the sheer magnitude of that catastrophe is unrivaled by evil means in the U.S. Nothing like that has ever happened by evil means. A lot of natural disasters have happened and caused a lot of damage, but nothing on that scale. And I remember as a 10-year-old boy, I was standing there and I was watching that, and then I watched the towers come down, and everybody remembers where they were. Everybody remember watching that. Just remember the feeling it was to see those towers come down and to know that there were perhaps tens of thousands of people who were dying right in front of your very eyes. And that'll shake you up, and it did me as a young boy like that. I'd never seen anything like that, and it was real. You know, we weren't there. We were there within a few weeks. We saw the Pentagon, so we were in Washington D.C. Just a few weeks after the event had happened, and we saw there was still remnants of smoke coming up out of the Pentagon. That's how soon we were there, and that you know really affected me. And I remember it was like a wave of reality that came over me because I was raised in the message and I knew there is something about this that no one can do anything about. No one can negate this. No one can fix this. It just happened. And all of a sudden, and all these people are dead. Very, very unnecessarily. And I broke down within myself, and I realized that I needed what I had been hearing all of my life. Yeah. I knew that either I would have to just, that something had to change. Because if this was the means to getting to that, where all these people were and where all these people were preaching about, then I needed to get there. And something happened inside of me, and I went to Dad and I said, what do I need to do? I want to get baptized. So I repented and I got baptized and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I can remember it was a Saturday, I believe it was a Saturday morning. Could have been a Friday morning. And we drove out to the river and Mom and Dad were there. It was just me and Mom and Dad. And I can remember a real cold, beautiful morning. And he dunked me in the river and I came back up, and I can remember because I kept my eyes open underneath the water. I could still see the water coming over my eyes. That picture will never leave me. And it was almost as beautiful as seeing my bride coming down the aisle for the first time. And just experiencing the cold water come over your face and you come out of the water. And after having experienced something like September 11th in the way that I experienced it, it changed my life. And this time of year has a special place, a very unique place in my heart. But then, you know, we see all these tragedies happening even nowadays. And it makes you want to make your calling and election sure. It really does. Job was in a pretty unique situation himself. He was a believer. I believe he was. The Bible says he was perfect. There's nobody like him. If you go back over to the beginning of the chapter, it says, and there was Job sanctified his children, but in the very first part it says, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. It's really something when the Scripture says that a man is perfect. And the Scripture says this of Job. And Job was a believer that had faith. I really do believe that. Not only faith for himself, but he had faith for his family. Because he committed his family to the Lord. He was a man that lived his faith. He put his faith into action. He was a perfect man and a believer. I believe he really was. And then we come down and we see all the different things that happened in the story, and his family were wiped out. You want to talk about calamities? This is the man that we talk about. You want to talk about tragedy? This is the man we talk about, Job. He was in the midst of this tragedy, the multiple tragedies that had befallen him, and he's sitting there, and his friends come up, and Zophar is saying all of these different things to him, and Eliphaz is saying all these different things to him, and he's listening to these guys, and he's sitting on the ash heap, and he's scraping his boils with the pieces of clay, and his wife, you know, was so fed up with the whole thing. She said, just end it all. Don't go on with this any further. Just curse God and die. And so he does what he does what a believer does, and he says here, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There's no doubt there's many people in here, all of us, I'd say all of us in here, are relying on God for something. Some of you are relying on God for family members that you want to be brought into the faith, for wayward family members, for wayward children. For wayward parents, for yourself, or for a healing, or for something that you're struggling with that you want to see removed, or a prayer that you have that you want answered. You're relying on God for something. You're trusting in God for something. There's not a one of us in here that aren't relying on something. And then of course there are those who really they might think I don't need anything. I think there's a lot of people who don't ask of God big things anymore. It's like we become okay where we're at. We don't feel like we need to ask God for anything. We're rich and increased with good, so we have need of nothing. But we still need God. We still need His presence. We still need His truth. We still need His revelation. So, as believers, what we do is we place our faith in Him. As Brother Matt was explaining today, faith is a revelation. And when we place, when we catch the vision of that, when we catch the vision of what the message of the hour is today and what it means to us, then that is our faith latching on to something. That this is the truth. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I needed. But that in and of itself does nothing for you. That is just the realization that it is true. So we all understand that God is the beginning and the end. We understand and we know and we believe by faith as believers that He can actually heal you. That He will heal you. We place our faith in the fact that He will bring us through to the end. That He who performed a good work in us, we have confidence in this fact that He will bring it through and complete it in the end. He will carry us through. We believe that. We have faith in that. We understand that truth. That is faith. It is not yet placed in action. If I could explain it like this. Let's say I have a vitamin. And there's a vitamin here on the pulpit. And it's a vitamin C. Let's say I have a vitamin C deficiency. And I need vitamin C. Well, I believe, and it's revealed to me that I know that the vitamin can provide for my needs. That I know that it can fill that void and that deficiency in me. I know that it can. I believe it. Someone told me. It becomes a revelation to me that this can help me. But it does nothing for me sitting on the platform. The same is with God. These words do nothing for you sitting on the page. The whole purpose and plan of God and what is the grace to the bride of Jesus Christ, what makes us different is that we have the understanding of that we are the Word expressed in this day. And that is the grace of God working in the midst of His elect to bring them back to as it was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. We have this realization that is what God is wanting to do. It's not just words on a page. It's not just something that we associate with. It is the living presence of God manifesting Himself through our lives. That is the whole picture. It is grace to the bride. That is why in Zechariah chapter 4, Zerubbabel, when the headstone was coming down, he says, "Grace, grace unto it." It's an act of grace. That is why you are where you are. That is why you are who you are. That is why you have been given the revelation of what this is that we bring ourselves together every Sunday to listen to. It is not just something that is different, something just like everything else. It is the faith placed in the Word of God so that the Word of God can manifest itself through us as sons and daughters of God. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He puts it into action. But it will do you no good if it just sits on the page. So, what I need to do is take it and take the vitamin that I know that it will help me and take it with some water. And then it's in me. So now I have, and it could even be said that is the fulfillment of Revelations 10, 8 through 11. When John took the book into himself and he ate it and then he prophesied it again to the nations. Because we must catch this vision, but we must also live it. We must also proclaim that vision. And that is the fulfillment of Revelations 10, 8 through 11. 10:7 is the revelation of it. It is what happens. But Revelations 10, 8 through 11 is the result of what happens. It is faith in action. It is you taking the book and bringing it into yourself and consuming it. And it becomes a part of you. And then the Word manifests itself through your life. And so when I take that vitamin into myself, I have expressed my faith. My faith has then become a work that is expressing my faith. Because works is faith expressed. And James says, faith will do you nothing unless there are works that express what it actually is. It's not of works, lest any man should boast in that. It is by the grace of God that we are saved through faith. Amen. So it's when we put our faith in the Word of God, and then that manifests itself out through us, which is all a work of grace, that becomes the living manifestation of the Word. It is God living through you. God living in a many-membered bride. And that's what it's all about. That is what you must do. That is the necessary application of the message of the hour in the life of a believer. It's not that you're just associated with something, but that by this association or coming to here, we have caught the vision. We heard it. It quickened inside of us. Just like Brother Matt was saying with the lady who caught the serpent seed. She said, I see it. It was faith that she had placed in the Word of God, and then God revealed it to her. Then she could see her position, and then she could believe it by the Word. That was faith expressed. That must happen. So I've taken the vitamin into myself. It is now inside of me. It is doing the work that God intended it to do. It is going to fill the void. It is going to fill the deficiency, because I have a vitamin C deficiency. I just took vitamin C. Now, the thing about it is that I won't feel that. Now, I may have some pretty serious vitamin C deficiency problems going on. And when I take that, I may feel some effects of it. But right away, I'm not going to have a jolt of, I've got all the vitamin C I need. I'm good. My body is not going to say to me, we're good. We're up to 99, 100%. We're good. We're all good. My body is not going to say that. It'll take me a very long time to realize that I've never come to the realization that I have had every vitamin that I need. I doubt any of you had. But when I take that vitamin, I eventually will be satisfied of all the vitamin C that I need. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using a Sunday night illustration is what I'm doing. When that vitamin C is there, then I trust that it will do the work that it was intended to do. Now, my faith is what realized that the vitamin will work. My faith is it was revealed to me. Vitamin C is what you need. Here's some for $25. I bought it, and then I took it into myself. I ate it, and now it's inside of me. Now it's doing the work. That was my faith expressed. That must take place. But faith is in the stature of a perfect man. It is the essence of the fruits of the Spirit. But trust is not a fruit of the Spirit. Trust is not an element of the stature of a perfect man. Trust is something that I must do as a result of the faith that I placed in the vitamin C, that it will accomplish what it was supposed to do. Now, I had faith in it, and I am living in my faith, and I am walking in my faith because I ate the vitamin C. It's inside of me. It's doing its work. In a few weeks, I'm going to have healthy bones, or whatever vitamin C does. Lush skin, or something like that. But I must trust that it will do what it says it did. Brother Mark was talking about authenticity last night. And he was to the youth, and he was talking about how authentic it is. And he was talking about generic drugs that aren't necessarily true. And there's a lot of those overseas. You go overseas in Pakistan, places like that, the China will sell drugs that aren't necessarily authentic. And they'll sell them, and people will be taking them. And you see that a lot in Africa. People will be taking all these drugs that aren't necessarily doing anything. It's not authentic. But when you get something that is authentic, and you take it by faith inside of yourself, and you reach out in faith, because faith is supposed to be in action. You're supposed to be in action. You're not supposed to be idly sitting on the shelf. You're supposed to be in action. That's what the life of a believer is. Is something that is being put through the fire, put to the test, and will produce gold at the end. It must be tried. Every son that comes to God must be tried. So you must apply your faith. It's got to work that way. We walk by faith. And so when I'm walking by faith, I must trust that He is able to accomplish the thing that He said He would do. God is the God that you can trust in. God is the God that you can trust in. That's not a cliche. That is truth for the hungry heart. That is assurance for the ever afflicted righteous. That God, our God, is the God that you can trust in. Our God is a God that you can trust in. Now, our faith is in action as far as I can see it. I see a lot of people with long hair. I see a lot of people who have wonderful testimonies. I see a lot of people who are living the faith. But every single one of us must trust God. We must trust that He who started a good work in us will finish it. We must trust those of us who are ill that He will heal us. We place our faith in the Scripture. We place our faith in Him. But we must trust that He will do it. We must trust, as it says in Isaiah, for those of us who are older. He says, when you are gray-headed, I will not leave you. I will deliver you. You must trust in that. Your faith has been placed in it, and your faith has been put in action. But you must trust in the living God. The Scripture says, lean not to thine own understanding. Trust God. It's not a cliche that our God is a God that we can trust in. Because there's many of us who are going through very, very hard circumstances. Very difficult things. There's many of us who are in very good times. There's very little that's going wrong. There's very little that's going. We have jobs. We're bringing home money. We're eating good groceries. We have all these things going on. We have a future. We have children that are growing up. We're very happy. There's a lot of us who have no trying circumstances per se. But yet you must trust God just the same as someone who is going through a calamity. This phrase, our God is a God that you can trust in, becomes very different when you're in the face of a doctor that says, I can't do anything else for you. It becomes very, very different. The reality of life hits you in a very different way when that happens. It becomes very different when when your boss says, I'm sorry, we got to let you go. We don't have any more room for you. We've got to let you go. When you're faced with a circumstance that you did not want, an illness or something like that, this becomes very different to us. That God is our God is the God that we can trust in. It's not a cliche. It's not something that should become common to us. It's the reality to the believer. It's the consequence of our faith. Is trust in God. A consequence is something that is as a result of an action, a result of something. So our faith, our trust in God should be the consequence of our faith that is already placed in the Word of God. Because when we commit something to God, we must trust that He will perform it. When we place our faith in God, that He will take care of our children, that He will raise up a standard in our house, that He will heal us, that He will deliver us from a certain kind of struggle, then we must trust that He is able to do it, even in the midst of circumstances that would say otherwise. You must trust God in that circumstance. Now, I want you to go, if you would, with me to the book of Amos. The book of Amos is right after the book of Daniel. I'm sorry. After Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's exactly where we're at. There's a famine in the land, not of bread or water or something physical, but of hearing the words of the Lord, there's a famine. There's going to come. In other words, what Amos is saying is that there is going to come at this particular time. And he's talking about Israel, of course, and a future event of Israel. But we can apply it nowadays. And he says, in this context, he says there is going to be, at this particular point in time, a deficiency. There's going to be something that is deficient in this time. And it's going to be a spiritual deficiency. He's saying there will be a point in time when the words of God will not be spread among you, when you will not have that provided for you. Nobody will speak it. None of the priests will lose their testimony. Everything will fade away and nothing will be spoken about the word of God. At this point in time, in a future event in history, Amos is saying there's not going to be the word of God given to you. There's going to be a deficiency. In Psalm chapter 31, David says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Now, Brother Branham says in Christ is a Mystery, 1963, he says, "But store up the food, that there would come a time when this would all be needed." You said, store up the food here for the time, Lord. Reverently, I have tried to do that. And I pray that you'll cap it all off, Lord, to show that you're God and this is your word and your truth. Grant it, Lord, that the people might feed thereon and grow fat as it was in the grace of God, that they'd see that it's God's great mercy to us in this day. In the great orchestration of God, there had to come a deficiency in the land of the Word of God so that the world would get into the state that it was in. So he's allowed, and by the Lord placing certain things and allowing certain things to move as he pre-planned, he's placed everything in its exact order. But he's also provided a provision. He has also provided, because he is, as it says in Genesis 22, he says, "I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider." So the Lord has created a time now where there would be a deficiency of something, but for those who fear him, he has created a place of provision. Now in this age, the church age is still under the man anointing. Because the first, now, if you go back to Revelation chapter 6, in Ezekiel's beast, there was four manifestations of the power of God. It went out first in the manifestation of a lion. It went out second in the way of an ox. And that carried them through the old ages, or the dark ages, and then also through the ages of persecution. And then it went into the time of that was the Dark Ages, and then it went into the time of the man, which struck at Luther's time. So in this time, man's intellect would come to the place where they would begin to translate the Word of God, they would begin to assimilate the Word of God into what we now have, the Word of God. That was the shock that kept the life of God throughout the church ages. So the life of God now was kept through the age of the anointing of a man to think through things and to decipher things. And as Luther was deciphering the Word of God and translating it into a language that the common man could have, revelation struck him. So God was using the anointing of a man. But then he says now, the world is still under the third seal anointing, because those anointings accumulate on top of one another. So the world is still going in a place where they're operating on the basis of their ability to understand and to grasp. We were somewhere the other day, and there was a minister who said, there was a man, my professor in seminary, told me to uphold the theologies of this, of my school. So this man was a pastor, and he said, my professor in seminary told me to, he charged me to keep the theology of his seminary, not necessarily the Word of God. So this preacher was preaching, being charged by his school instead of by the power of Almighty God, which is the way that God comes. And that's exactly the way it was. I believe in Wesley's time, there was one seminary, the Moravian School of Theological Thought. Now there's over 261 dedicated seminaries. So as a result of the man age, things have increased, and the theology and the ideology of mankind has got to the point where there's a deficiency in the Lord's word, in his spoken word, in his original seed. There's a deficiency of that, but because God is Jehovah Jireh, he has provided you a provision. So we have faith that this word is true. We have faith that this message is the truth. We must trust in the provision that God has given us, that he will give us what we have need of in the exact time that we have need of it. He stored up manna for us in this day. He stored up life for you in this day. Everything that you have need of and that I have need of is in the Word of God. It's in the message of the hour. And if we can but place our faith in it and wait and trust in it, He will perform it. Trust is something that you do as a result of your faith. Job was at the circumstance that he was in his life. And he says, I was perfect in all of my ways. I was upright before God. God said that of Job. I don't know if Job would have said that or not. And then he's in the midst of such calamity and circumstance to the point that he's almost at his breaking point. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though God would slay me, yet will I trust him. Now that's, that phrase becomes different. And I realize I may be preaching to someone who may have need of this sermon a long time from now. I don't know. I'm just preaching what's on my heart. But Sister Sarah and I were talking this afternoon, and I was saying, when we broke up a couple times. When we broke up, everybody would say, oh, it'll be all right. There was a minister that I went to, and I go to people for counsel and advice. I just like to hear what they have to say, and then I filter that through what the Lord is revealing to me in the Word, and then I take it. And this man said, I said, you know, I've had a, I recently had a breakup, and he said, oh, glad to hear it. Best thing that'll ever happen to you. And, you know, I was in a lot of pain and everything like that. I didn't really want to hear that, but when you're in the midst of that, and people say to you, just trust in the Lord. It'll all work out. Just trust in the Lord. It'll be okay. It takes a whole new meaning when you're in the midst of pain that you cannot see past. But yet our God is a God that you can trust in. He is a God that you must trust in. And you cannot lean to your own understanding. You must trust God. We have all put our faith in the Word of God. Denominationalism has gone to the Word of God in part. You have gone to the Word of God in its fullness. When you see something in the mirror of God's Word that doesn't line up with you, you lay before it and God will cut that from you. He'll separate you from that. We have placed our faith in the Word of God. It is by the faith of God that we walk. But you must trust God. To the point that Job could say, though he slay me, though he even take my life, thus will I trust him. I will rely in the ability of another to perform the task which he said he would do. Your faith was placed in it, which is a revelation that it is true. But it is your faith that will bring you through the storm in the power of God. That I believe and I trust in the Lord, that His presence will be near me, that His strength will fill me, that He will deliver me of this, that He will heal me. And you place your trust in the almighty power of God, and He will carry you through by His power. But you must trust in Him. If you do not see the results of God in your life, you must trust that it will come as a consequence of your faith in Him.
If you do not see the reality of what the message can do to a believer, that can change them and take the wrong things out of their life, that can make them walk in newness of life, then you must trust God that He will do it. It's not just a cliche. Our God is a God that we can trust in, that we must trust in. When you see things going awry or going a certain way, you must trust in Him. When Moses' parents had taken Moses and they were... In Hebrews chapter 11, which was Brother Matt's text this morning, it doesn't mention Moses. It mentions Moses' parents. Because God had a job for Moses to do. God had a place and a purpose and an order for Moses to fulfill. There was nothing that Moses wasn't going to accomplish by the power of God. God was going to accomplish everything that He set out to do. Because He promised it in Isaiah 55 when He said, "My word will not return unto me void. And if your words are in me and I am in you and you are in me, then you are of me." And if you are the word of God, His word cannot come to you unperformed. Half performed, half-heartedly done. It will return unto God in its fullness, just like God anticipated it to be. So don't look at yourself and say, there's no way that could be. You must trust God as a consequence of putting your faith in the Word of God. That is the reality of the Christian. And Moses' parents, the Scripture says, and Moses' parents saw that he was a fair child. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, it means beautiful. God had placed a provision in Moses' life that made him attractive to his parents. Because he was attractive, and because he was fair. Now, I may be seeing this completely wrong, but Brother Branham says the exact same thing, and I see it right in the Scripture. Those words means that he was a fair child. He was a beautiful child. And when it says it in Exodus 2, and it says it in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and Moses' parents, seeing that he was a fair child, God made Moses a beautiful child to make his parents want to keep him. That to me is amazing. I think when my parents, opened the... They just kind of closed it back. Would have just pushed it down the Nile. With different motives. Don't laugh. A lot of you are exactly the same way. However, because Moses was a beautiful child, his parents, by faith, trusted, or as the New Testament calls it, committed him unto the Lord. They pushed him out in faith. And Brother Branham says, and he was going down the Nile and there was an angel on top of that thing because his parents had pushed him out in faith and trusted in God. God had made a provision for Moses, not only for Moses, they had made a provision for the children of Israel, something way out in the future, 80 years out into the future, by making him a beautiful child to push onto the heart of his mother that Moses was a beautiful child. And she committed that child to the basket and trusted that the Lord would work it out. You see, God in His great orchestration knows exactly what He's doing. He's orchestrating all of these different things to His Word, to His will. The ultimate purpose of God, there's so many young people who struggle with what is God's perfect will for my life? This is God's perfect will for your life. Who you marry, what you do as a career, what you do as your hobbies, where you live, where you move, that is all a consequence of you coming into alignment with God's perfect will. That is the perfect will of God. It is not, well, you, Stephen, should go here and do this and marry that girl. Sometimes God will speak to your heart to do certain things. But it is all so that I can manifest the revealed word of the hour, which is God's grace to us. That is His purpose and goal in my life, is to express the Word of God through me. So when I come into alignment with this and I place my faith in this, then my trust in Him will enable Him to work with me and pull me in certain ways because I trust in Him. Though He slay me, I will yet trust in Him because I believe that God is working my life into accordance to the good of His will that called me. You understand that? Trust is the consequence of your faith. Brother Branham, he says in 1961, in The Comforter, he says, God help me. God help you as Christians never to compromise one word of God's word. For this sacred trust was handed to the church. And it's a glorious thing to have this gospel, the full gospel. And it's a glorious thing to preach it without compromising anywhere. To preach it as it's written. To live it just as it's written. What a sacred trust. And if we ever expect this word, ever expect it to come to pass, if we ever expect God to keep His word by the faith that we have placed in Him, if we ever expect God to keep His word, we have got to stay with it just the way God wrote it. It was God's sacred trust to us. God entrusted, He trusted you with the word. So many times we think, we must trust God. God trusted us with the word. So by faith, placing ourselves in it and placing our faith in the word and trusting Him and coming into alignment with His word and bringing ourselves as believers back onto the basis of the unadulterated word, that creates the circumstance for God to fulfill His word in us. He gave it to you as a sacred trust. Then this is not just an option. It is a trust that God has given to you. And when somebody comes against this, and they twist it around, and add to, and they cut this, and they cut that, Brother Branham says, it's a sacred trust to His church. And when we cut this, and cut that, and throw this out, and add this in to suit our own taste. But to preach the full word, the whole gospel, is not to compromise. God has given you this as a sacred trust. We talk about trusting God. God trusted you with this. Therefore, it is a responsibility to us. It is not just an option. It's our responsibility. It is a sacred trust of God. And when we caught the vision of what it was in this day, that it was grace to us that it was so, that we caught the vision, we placed ourselves in the unadulterated Word of God and we say, oh, this is all lining up. This is who Brother Branham was. This is what that is. This is why this is happening. This is what I must do. This is why I must not cut my hair. This is why I must not wear shorts. This is why I must not do all these things. Drink. This is what my... When all of these things, they come into alignment with the Word of God because we place ourselves into that by faith. Because no one can come unto God unless He draws him. He draws you through the faith that He has gifted to you. And when we, as a consequence, put our faith in this, then God can perform it. You understand me? There is the basis of healing. There is the basis of deliverance. There is the basis of peace that surpasses your understanding. Is as a sacred trust that He has given into your hands, you by faith place yourself back into the Word of God as He commands, as He entrusted you to do. And when He does that, then He can quicken the Word in your life and make it a reality. And then you become the manifested Word of this hour. Then you become the bride of the Bridegroom, which is happening right now because it's the end time. And when we do that, then we become the manifested Word of God. But we must trust in His Word. Because not everything all of a sudden comes into alignment. There's many things that God has to work in you and cut out. And it's just like the person who's sharpening the knife. And they have to sharpen it and they have to get all of the burrs out. And they have to get it down into a fine point. And He's sharpening you and He's molding you and He's shaping you in the midst of circumstance. And that is why He is a God that you can trust in, because you have placed yourself by faith into the Word of God, that He who started the work in you will finish it. By whatever means He chooses necessary, He will perform it. You must just trust in it. And stop flitter-fluttering about and just trust in God that He will perform that work in your life, that He will deliver you, that He will heal you, that He will grab a hold of your children more tightly than you could ever imagine. That is faith being placed in the Word of God and trusting that He will keep it. That is why Solomon said, lean not to thine own understanding. Trust God. Brother Branham says, no wonder Christianity can't even lift up a standard. It's because it's not because Christ is not able, but because that the people won't do it. The message is ready. The power of God is sufficient. Men and women are scared to break out yonder in these spheres and dare to trust God and to take His word. It is not that this is not sufficient to your circumstance or to your problem or to your situation. It is. The power of God is there, more powerful than you could ever imagine, to work in your life. The peace of God is ready to come flowing over you in a way that you could not even think possible. It's ready to grab a hold of your children. To grab a hold of that wayward friend that you've got. It's ready to snuff out any demon that would be in torment in your life. That is a promise of God. He is ready and willing and more than able to deliver you. In fact, the Scripture affirms you and promises you that you are already an overcomer. Men and women are scared to break out yonder into those spheres before God and dare to trust Him and to take His word. Trust is the assured reliance or the character or the ability, the strength that someone or something, a charge or duty imposed in faith or confidence or as a condition of some relationship will be performed. Trust is what we do as a result of the faith that we have. We must trust in God that He will perform what He said He would perform. We must trust in God that we will have a rapture. There's not a one of us in this room that the devil doesn't hop on your shoulder and say, are you sure that that's the truth? Are you sure that that's actually going to happen? Are you sure? And then you begin to think about it. Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Get there behind me, Satan. I'm sure. You place your trust in Him. You have faith. You've already had faith that this is the Word. You've made a stand on your faith. You must trust in Him. Jeremiah 17, 7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in God and whose hope the Lord is in. Brother Branham, he said in 1956 in the Secondhand Robe, he says, for him, God, being infinite, know the end from the beginning. And He makes everything come to His praises. That's right. All things have to work together. Everything will have to shape right up to its place. My, if that wouldn't only make courage in a Christian. Nothing can go wrong. After all, it's not our Bible, it's His. It's not our wisdom, it's His. And the only thing that we have to do is put our faith and trust there. And set still and see the glory of God. It comes all the way back to what Brother Matt was saying this morning. Our eyes are opened and we see it. I believe that one day we'll see glory. But we must trust Him. We've all put our faith in Him. But you must trust Him that He will get you there. And we do that by first putting ourselves in alignment with the Word of God. Letting everything else go. Letting nothing else interfere with that. And then we trust in it. We push our families. We push our children. We push just like Moses' parents did with his with their son. They pushed it out and trusted God. We do the exact same thing. Just like we do with healing. When you have need of something and you're sick, you just push that out towards God. Don't take it back and hold it. Push it out towards God by faith, believing that He will act on the basis of His Word. And trust that He will, regardless of the expanse of time or the circumstances in the meantime. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Things will come up that'll knock you off your balance, and it'll just seem like a cliche. You need to trust in God. At that time, just remember, the only thing that you need to do is stop, don't worry, don't flutter around. Just place your trust in the Word of God and see the glory of God. See it open right in front of your eyes. Have faith in Him. But lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in Him. And come to the point where you, like Job, could say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. If the musicians would come. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. And I'll turn it over to Brother Jaron. He could sing for us. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. If you would, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, it is a hard thing to be a Christian because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But Lord, the joy is unlike anything else. The peace is unlike anything else. And in the midst of the hardships of the training and the trials and the things that we have to go through to come forth as gold, we trust You. Lord, teach us to trust You more. We place our faith in You as believers. We place our hope in the promises of God that You will perform the things that You said You would perform. That You will lead us into the truth that the Holy Spirit promised to do. That's why He came, was to lead us into the truth. So we trust that we will see the truth. And those of us who have the truth inside of us, Lord, help us to trust in that. That You will perform everything that You said You would. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Heavenly Father, teach us to trust in You more. In the gracious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Brother Steve, enjoyed that. Let's all stand. Let's sing that song. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Yes, I want to see You. To see You high and lifted up. Oh, shining light of Your glory, pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see You. I want to see.
Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire.
This is my desire to honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You.
Stephen was bringing forward. Take what God has for you. Consume that. It's yours, amen. Let's just sing one more. If you need prayer or anything like that, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. Let's sing that song, We Are More Than Conquerors.
We are more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Myself, the more he lifts me up, and
once again. More that I surrender, the lighter my load. More that I release my care, the more He takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more He lifts me up. And every day I live, Lord, I love You more. Think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace.